Welcome to this live series broadcast. This program is brought to you courtesy of NBO Tuho Grace Ministries International and is recorded in our live broadcast studios in Maseno, Kenya. We hope that this program will assist you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we all advance to the high ground of service to the world. Let's take a moment of silent prayer before we begin this Bible study. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity this day to study your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Word and the fact that we can study the Word of God in this time when things seem not to be going well. Father, you have given us an enormous opportunity to study and to thereby grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Father, we pray that you will enable us, quicken our mortal minds to understand the subject that we are just about to examine this day. We pray that this will be so helpful to the many that will listen to this broadcast in various forms and in many parts of the world. This I pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
That Jesus is the Son of God. God abides in Him, and He in God. God abides in Him.
I welcome all of my listeners to this program. And tonight we are going to look at one of the most controversial topics in modern-day church leadership, among theologians and scholars, among pastors and teachers. This is one of the topics that many servants of God dare not teach in their churches for fear of losing members of their church congregation. Notwithstanding, however, let me speak straight from the Word of God, which remains the final authority and also able to restore order in our churches. The topic for today is the role of women in ministry and church leadership. The role of women in ministry and church leadership. If you have a Bible, please pull it near you, because today we are going to do a lot of Bible reading. The root scripture will come from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, and the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 to 35. Let's begin with a question. And the question is, what does the Bible teach in regard to women pastors and teachers in the local assembly? What does the Bible teach in regard to women pastors and teachers in the local church? Are women to lead in ministries, and particularly when men are present? Some of these questions that linger in our minds, that keep on disturbing us, that we grapple with daily, that we wrestle with, and because of the implications of answering these questions correctly, we tend to just go around them and sometimes avoid them, and we think we are well without having to clearly clarify these issues in the church. Now, many denominations allow women pastors and women teachers. Many denominations consecrate women to pulpit ministry, where they directly speak the Word of God, teach the Word of God, lead men. Now, the question is this the order that God has ordained in our churches? Many of these people that do this type of ministry quote scripture out of context. And if you look at it, you just see clearly that they fail at the best of even rightly dividing the word of God itself. They fall short of correctly dividing the word of truth. And what does the Bible teach about this? I want us to begin to study this topic with a lot of soberness, a lot of calm. I don't want you to be emotional. Be open-minded, because a good scholar of the Word of God is always open-minded and able to look at Scripture the way Scripture remains, the way it is, the way it is presented, without bringing in our own emotions, our own viewpoints, our own denominational standpoints, our own views, and what maybe we learned in schools of theology and maybe were taught on the streets or somewhere in our lifetime. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. Now, the emphasis in this passage is on women being silent in regard to teaching the word of God to men in the local assembly. They are not to speak with authority from God's word to men. Paul is not saying they can't make conversations. In fact, the word silence in this context, Paul is speaking as regards women speaking or expounding on the word of God before men. Now, the emphasis in this passage is on women being silent in regard to teaching the word of God to men in the local assembly. They are not to teach or speak in authority from God's word to men. Paul is not saying they can't make conversation. Neither is he saying that they cannot discuss and study with men from Scripture. The word silence is in the context of women speaking or expounding on the word of God before men. These scriptures are pointing to an issue to do with institution of divine authority, where we have the institution of family and church. In these two institutions, the female gender has been put under authority of the male gender, and this subject will come out much clearer as we come to the end of this topic. Now, let's look at these verses one by one. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What this means is that women are supposed to be orderly, not disturbing or unruly in the church. Remember that Paul is addressing a specific issue in the church of Ephesus, where women were usurping authority over men in the church. The reason is explained by God's created order of the spiritual headship of family, where a man is head of a woman. In verse 13, and the deception of the women in the Garden of Eden, in verse 14. A woman is not to have authority or dominion over the man. And so it is clear from this verse that women are not called to lead, even in the church. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. This is very interesting scripture that will speak a lot, that will bring out so much that you can learn from. The Bible says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, no greedy or filthy liquor, but patient, not a brawler, no covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all authority. Repeat. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now, the word man in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 is in the male gender. And I read, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. This passage, therefore, prohibits women from the office of pastor, elder, or bishop. It is impossible for the woman to be the husband of one wife. In fact, the English presentation of this scripture, the syntax and logic behind all that is written in this verse, squarely disqualifies a woman from standing before men. In Titus chapter 2, 3 to 5, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We know that Paul is again talking about behavior in the local assembly. Paul instructs Titus to teach the old men, verses 2, the older women, verses 3, and the older women are to teach the younger women, verse 4 and 5. That is, that the older women are to teach the younger women. They are to teach them to be self-controlled, love their husbands, and to love their children. They were to teach them to be pure, modest, and honoring to God. They are to be homemakers or keepers at home and submissive to their husbands. They are to teach their children and other women in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, 14 to 15. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 to 35. And I read, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I repeat, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, let's look at this more specifically and understand what Paul is talking about. Now, Paul is addressing the church at Corinth under the context of misuse of prophecy and tongues. Remember, that was a problem in the church of Corinth. There was messy confusion in the church of Corinth. That is verse 26 to 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul again gives instructions based on God's created order, as it is in Genesis chapter 3 verse 16. Let's read Genesis chapter 3 verse 16 and see what the Bible talks about these things. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And I read, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God."
Again, we see silence in the context of teaching and learning in the local assembly with men present.
Paul was not instructing on a cultural issue at Corinth, but the whole church for all time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 40, verse 33, we read, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." The use for the word brethren signifies the universal church as a whole.
Not specifically the church in Corinth, but the entire church as it exists today in the entire world. What about these passages? These passages, if you will consider them with a lot of soberness and with a lot of careful study, you will see a lot of misinterpretation, miscommunication, and quoting scripture out of context on the part of those who think women are supposed to stand up in the church and speak and preach and teach men. Now, let's look at this. Some people use Old Testament passages where women prophesied to allow women pastors and teachers in the New Testament church. Now, you consider this carefully, you'd see that in every instance in the Old Testament where women prophesied, it was not in the formal gathering where men were seated. It was always out of the context of the church. Because now the doctrine of the church, in which the institution of family exists, and where Christ is the head and God on top of Christ in that order, because God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of the church, a man is the head of the woman is the head of the child, and so forth. That is the structure now we find in the New Testament church, which was not expressly clear or given as a doctrinal teaching in the Old Testament. Some people use the example of Aquila and Priscilla teaching Apollos in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 28, to allow women pastors and teachers. Now, note the usage of the word, "they took him aside," and it was not within the local church assembly that Apollos was taught by Priscilla and Aquila. Some people use Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, to teach that women can be pastors and teachers. Now let's look at this passage. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." The context of this verse is that all are equal in access to salvation, as in verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." There should be therefore no confusion that this verse in any way gives authority to women to be pastors and teachers, because this verse specifically expounds on the principle of equal salvation to all people who have come into knowledge and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people also use 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to 16 to teach that women can be teachers and pastors. One will not find in the New Testament a woman pastor, elder, evangelist, or anything else in the gathered church. No woman wrote any book of the Bible. Why are we inventing our own ecclesiastical benchmarks in the functions and order in the Church of Christ today? Now, in summary, women are not to have a public ministry to the whole church, neither in leading or teaching if men are present. But they have a role in teaching younger women and also teaching children in the ways of the Lord. They have a very important ministry in the local church, but it stops and it has benchmarks. It has parameters within which it can be appreciated divinely as edifying the body of Christ. Failure to obey the teaching of the Lord in regard to the order of services in a church is in itself being disobedient to the Lord himself. And the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 to 40, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. You should not be shocked that these same principles apply on the mission field as well. In the next series, I'll be talking about the role women can perform in the local assembly and within the body of Christ as ambassadors for the Lord. Thank you for listening and welcome. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you write your word on the tablets of our soul, that Lord, we will not forget them, that God, they will guide us every day of our lives, that they will be the lamp unto our feet, and that there will be a direction to the journeys that we make. We thank you, Father, for opening up this hidden truth to us, and we pray that, Lord, we'll continue to exercise the teaching of truth. And Lord, we'll also be able to acclaim your holy name by rightly dividing the word of truth without fear and favor. We therefore thank you, God, as we grow in the Spirit and in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. This I pray, Father, that it will be so, even unto all that have listened to this program, that, Father, you continue to teach them even the mysteries that are hidden in these last days, that they will stand up to the truth, and that they will teach your word where necessary in the boldness of sound exposition of the entire scripture the way it is. This I pray through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you for tuning in and listening to this program series. If in any case you have any question, concern, request for Bible study material from live Bible series broadcast, you are welcome to do so by writing to us on the following address: Live Bible Series Broadcast, P.O. Box 4050, code 00200, Nairobi, Kenya. Or you may email us at ccwcorporation@yahoo.com. I repeat, ccwcorporation@yahoo.com. You can also find us on Pastor Naboth Dickens Otuho on both Facebook and Twitter. May God bless you and have a wonderful time.
Abides in God and God in